You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today I'm going to be chatting with Allison Knott, who is joining me from across the continent. I can't even speak today. Thankfully, she's Canadian and is able to speak beautifully. She is in Nova Scotia. We just had to slip that in there at the beginning of our conversation. Today, we're going to be digging into a topic that I spend a lot of time talking with other marketers around and occasionally with business owners who kind of scratch their head saying, why is this important? Well, you're going to find out why it's important right now, because we're going to be talking about the importance of audience research and how that can help enhance your marketing, enhance the returns and speed of return of your marketing, and so much more. And I'm so thrilled that Allison is going to guide us through this conversation. So welcome, Allison Knott.
Ah, darling, thanks for having me on today. I'm super excited to dive into the nerdery that is deepening your relationship with your audience.
Oh, I love that. So let's step back from the research piece of it, just to give a little context to the topic first, because, you know, as marketers, I will often, you know, chat with one who I think understands this concept, and I discovered that not even marketers get it. And by the way, we have a lot of marketers who listen to the show. And so if you are secretly not clear on the idea of audience research and how you actually get informed about how to build a relationship around what topics, around, you know, what situation somebody might be in when they're thinking, gosh, do I need this? Or maybe they're not yet thinking, but they're about to. There's opportunity for you to help your clients more effectively after you hear what Allison has to share. So let's start with some context.
Sure. So we tend to understand market research, right? Where does your offering or your product fit in the marketplace that is similar to you, either your contemporaries or competitors, depending how you like to word it, but where does what you offer exist in space? Well, audience research is very specific to your ideal audience and what they are going to need from you. So we're not so much considering, though we will, I'll talk about some tactics today about what your contemporaries and your competitors are doing, but audience research is really drilling into what is the expectation that your ideal audience has. Where are they in their journey that you are going to fit in with your marketing pieces? And also it can be used as ways to find valuable gaps and opportunities as a business owner or in your marketing to explode and grow where you need to grow, because you're centering it around your audience. Mm-hmm. And I underline this because the key to this is your audience isn't you. They are not the business owner. They are not the marketer. They don't know the end result when they buy your product or when they're going to use your service. So audience research gets us out of our own asses and back safely in the space with what are people, what do they understand? What do they need to know so that they can actually convert to us in our marketing? Turn marketing from a lovely date into that marriage piece, right? Into that sales and that conversion piece.
I love the fact that you pointed out that they don't necessarily know where we're going to be bringing them, right? This is something that I had a conversation with a client just last week around this, where we talked about what do we do and say out in public versus what do we say once we've brought somebody into our world?
Yes.
And obviously there's, you know, some things that people are not going to be familiar with, terminology, nomenclature, or even opportunities that your business can deliver to them to address the problem or the desire that they have.
Exactly. We often hear, especially in startup worlds, of the whole overemphasizing features and not benefits, right? So part of it with us is we get really excited. We know our systems. We know our service. I operate mostly inside the service-based businesses and startups. So we know the transformation that's going to happen with our ideal clients once they move through to us, but we forget what it's like to be the folk who have never worked with a lawyer before, who have never stepped into a space of certifying their business for sustainability, right? They don't know what to anticipate. So audience research gives us a chance to understand what are people, where are their minds at before they think of you? So again, I say, pull us out of our own asses a little bit. It's remove us from the picture in audience research and drill down to what is the job to be done, which has probably been mentioned a couple of times, right? It's a classic way of thinking about what are people trying to achieve that they're going to go looking for you. You think from an SEO perspective, people really want to dig down to when people are typing in, I need X in X area to do this. But like, what happened before? Where do we get people at that catalytic moment when their insight is turned towards you, but they don't know you from anyone else? So that's kind of the piece that I find we get to. We're always aiming for the end result, but to really grow your audience and in marketing and to find really awesome ways of expressing yourself through your marketing, you got to go a little bit before they know who you are. And we got to figure out where you are in that landscape from that perspective.
We've talked on the show before about this concept of a buyer's journey. And I think what we're talking about here is really that very front end of that journey where we're trying to figure out, okay, what does somebody need to see from us based on where they are at that moment in time? And what I heard you just say is even before they know what, you know, that they might need us, we want to be able to understand what is going on in their mind. This is the famous Robert Collier phrase that I never get correct, but it's, you know, understanding the conversation going on inside your prospect's mind or something along those lines is key here. And so let's now put a little bit more structure to this concept and talk a little bit about how we figure out what's going on, where we might research, how we might uncover these things.
All right. I got three wonderful ones. And the great thing is these are all incredibly affordable, even for any Canucks listening, because the dollar difference is like $300,000 percent difference. So when I say affordable, it's still affordable for us who aren't on the American dollar. But the first one I'm going to start with is an obvious one that a lot of folk are afraid to approach. And that is talking with your current clients. Your current customers, the gold standard ones, the ones that you love to work with the most, the ones that truly understood what you were offering. A lot of folk still rely on personas that were completely made up. They were done by their graphic designer when they're getting the website redone, or you and the team had a conversation, but no one actually stopped to ask your favorite clients or your favorite customers if any of this was relative. It was all aimed towards what we hope to achieve in our goals as a business, but not actually how they feel. So the first thing is go talk to your favorite clientele you have already. You can do one of two ways. One is known as a listening tour. Actually, I'll park that one. Listening tour comes after. I have a great resource that I can drop. There's a blog post about this. I can also give David the link to. They're called Clarity Calls, and they're developed by a woman named Caitlin Burgoyne here in Nova Scotia.
I love her. I'm on her newsletter.
Are you? Oh, yeah. Why Me Buy?
She's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. So her customer clarity calls are one-to-one interviews that you give to your existing clients or customers. And what I love about her system, you don't need to use hers, but what I like about it is it asks questions that are open-ended. And to underline this, this isn't a product review. You are not talking to your ideal audience to find out how great your product was or where you could improve. Its whole goal is to uncover the job to be done by this ideal customer. Because what you're going to do is you're going to reverse engineer what led them to even put their attention towards you, how they felt it was being solved. It can also uncover new things you hadn't thought about in terms of what your product or service can offer them that you can then use in your copywriting, in your ad copy, in your social media posts, in your SEO writing. So it asks a series of questions that are open-ended that gets them to start thinking about when did they start thinking about needing your service? And often it wasn't even you. And we think of our competitors, if I'm a lawyer, it's other lawyers. But that might not be the case. Perhaps to your ideal audience, they go to a therapist first. Maybe they go to an accountant first. So doing these one-to-one client calls or clarity calls in her case is a way for us to step back and let people tell, they literally tell their buyer journey story in a way that makes to them, they're just having a great rapport with you. But with Kate's system is a way of filling it out. She helps you. What I love about it is it's really affordable. And also it tells you how do you ask people to be in an interview in a way that sounds you know, authentic and is permission-based. What kinds of questions do you ask? How do you take notes to understand? And then what do you do with the information afterwards? So, but a lot of folk are afraid to talk to their favorite audience, or they only do it when they've completed a project and they give them like a standard survey and it's kind of looking for a testimonial, which is awesome. Don't not stop doing that. I love that. But the one-to-one interview is like an additional conversation you would have with your best fit. And you ask these questions to help reverse engineer these key pieces. And also most folk are more than happy to do this. If you're more service-based brands tend to find it very easy to just call up your 10 best clientele. If you're customer-based, again, that kit gives you some ideas on how to go for it. You may want to offer a discount or a gift card or something for their time. But it's the first one is you already have a wealth of information that we don't bother to dig into because we're so busy serving our clients and then getting the testimonial or putting them in retainership. We don't stop to pause and ask their perspective about what got them into the door. How did they end up choosing you? That's what that one's all about. That's number one, that piece.
I want to just circle back on something you said, because you gave some examples of the types of questions, or you described some of the types of questions there. Mm. And I think, you know, for a listener to say, oh, I don't need to go get a kit, I understand, I'm going to go and ask my current customers who I love and adore some questions. There's ways to ask questions that are going to give you the right information, positioned mm-hmm. the right way with the right perspective and the right wording. And there's questions you can ask which you think are going to give you the right answers, but will result in something very different. Here's mm-hmm. a quick example of this, right? Why did you buy from me? Gets a very, very different answer typically than what was happening the day before you decided that you needed to talk to me,
right? Exactly. That's it. It really removes us from the equation, which can be tough sometimes to do. And it often requires people to think back. They do have to, these conversations are usually 30 to 45 minutes long. I would say the big part in the middle are the questions orientated around what were you doing? And I'm putting your memory to the test now. What was going on? Why didn't you go with that option? And sometimes people like to stop because they're not prepared for that. Number one, they're thinking it's going to be a conversation about your current, you know, what you've been doing together. So, and they stop, but it's important because once you said, you know, work with me, again, I'm out of the equation with this piece. And the other part about it as well is sort of allowing them to meander a little bit in the conversation. We don't want to lead the witness, as it's called, right? We don't want to ask open-ended. We want to ask open-ended questions. And someone like me who talks a mile a minute, a good one to try to get into is just saying, tell me more. When there's silence, let there be silence. Let the person you interview continue on, because you might think you know where that conversation is going, but it might take them a minute to go, actually, no, you know what? I told you I found you on Google, but that's not true. What actually happened was a colleague of mine came back from a podcast interview, and all of a sudden your ears perk up and go, oh, okay. In that, you might find out later that that ideal person and a couple of others, a lot of them are actually making some decisions from a podcasting perspective. And you might go, well, I've been thinking about we should be on podcasts anyways. You've just been told by five folk that you've interviewed that podcasting is something that they go to decide who they're going to like, know, and trust to go to that. But you don't get them if you go, me, 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 me. You got to give them time, right, to really think about these pieces for sure.
I love that. We use the phrase probing questions for just that reason, right? Because there's usually something deeper beyond that surface level answer that you initially get. And so taking the time to actually dig deeper makes a ton of sense.
Yes. And so from there, the other one is, so some folk might be saying, well, Allison, we're going to be starting a new service or a new offering. We don't really have any ideal clients for that. Or we're newer in business, or my client has had a series, you know, maybe you're a marketer helping someone else. And it's like, well, they have clients, but they don't really fit our ideal where we want to go. So another option could be one, I've known them as listening tours. Some people call it market research. I'd still like to call it audience research. And basically what I recommend is you can put a call out, understand who you want to go after, like not detailed, but and what your general topic is. So I'll use myself as an example. I really thought I wanted to develop a SEO course for nonprofits, for people in comms and nonprofit. But before I made a single sentence about that product, I did a listening tour. I interviewed about 12 different folk in comms teams and nonprofit to ask them about what was their world. Where did SEO fit for them? And you know what happened, darlings? They all told me the same thing. None of them gave a single crap about SEO, not because they didn't think it was important, but ultimately most boards are more concerned about social media. So I could have built this thing, but it didn't necessarily translate that the comms people will be able to convince the board to do it. So that listening tour allowed me to talk about where their pain points were in SEO, and it turned to a whole other conversation about systems and structure. So those questions are similar to the one-to-one interviews, although you can't really talk about the whole piece of what led you up to thinking about this topic. You have to twist or not twist, you have to shift some of the concepts to be more about. And the topic of divorce, family law, what can be some there, like, what does success look like to you? Probably not the best example, but whatever you're selling, what does success look like to you? I mean, success would be we won and we have as less litigation as possible. Yep. But those listening tours are great when you, and again, you don't want to lead the witness there. You don't want to divulge what it is that you're actually producing, because people often want to do good by you in interviews. So if you tell them, hey, I'm doing market research around a new way to offer this service, you're kind of narrowing in how they're going to talk about this. If you leave it open to the topic of what you're doing and you have these open-ended questions. And again, I love using Zoom. Darlings, this is going to be super lo-fi. I got Zoom and I have otter.ai. I pay for the pro account that does all the transcriptioning of these services or this conversation. So I can really be an active listener and listen to them. And then that allows me to then look at the transcription. And from there, again, you can pull out copywriting pieces. How do they refer to you? Were you saying something and they asked you to clarify, which could be a clear indication you're talking jargon? Right. So like, oh, okay, they didn't know this. We're going to go back through our website or our copy or our forum or our Slack, that group that we have, and we're going to change how we're doing it. So you have, yeah, so that's the one-to-one interviews. And then we have that listening tour if it's a little more vague. And another tip for that I found is to get people outside of your scope. What I'll often say is it's a 30-minute phone call and I will give 30 minutes of my time as a gift for you for taking the time. And you can pick my brain or however you want to word it about X topic. And then usually, darlings, at the end of the questions, the first thing they'll ask is, I actually want to know what you're working on here.
Yeah.
And that's an opportunity not to sell, but it's a more natural progress. Most people are really curious because you haven't talked about yourself the whole time. You've been asking them questions. So it's a wonderful way. And you should be talking to your customers and clients anyways. I know we're busy business owners and we're busy marketers and that, but this is way better than some salesy, sari, Sally, you know, persona that was built 5 years ago that actually isn't relative to who you're trying to reach. This is real people, real talk.
There was so much gold in what you just shared there. And we do something which actually breaks some of the rules that you just laid down.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
In terms of a validation call before we have a client launch a new campaign or a new offering, et cetera. And it actually does outline the detail of what's included because they're looking for feedback. But mm-hmm. in the example where you were talking with the communications folks and you learned, right, that the board is not interested in SEO, but they are interested in social, right? That was super helpful in saving whoever, right, a ton of time and a ton of money by not going down the wrong path. So
building something they didn't want. Yes,
exactly. And so there's opportunity to learn stuff, not just about what you should do, but what you shouldn't do. And I remember going through one of these and having a guy tell us that we saved him four years and $1.5 million US, by the way, which is significant money. And so, you know, there is a utility there. So thanks for sharing that.
It is. It's again, it's simply, I say simply, number one, you're also fostering relationships. You get to talk to people. I have found that when I do listening tours for myself or for clients, that you get to reach a whole new, a new group of people, because they're not coming in thinking you're going to sell them on what you offer. They're there to, number one, they kind of get two for one. They get to, you get like to ask them their opinion about this topic. And two, they're going to get you for half an hour at no cost of whatever that expertise is as well. So that can often open up relationships. I know I've gotten clients from it. I know I've had clients who've gotten clients from it because we're having these conversations. You know, the other tip on those two is I find with the listening tours, ideally if the business owner or the key person they would be connected, if they do that, that is fine. The one-to-one interviews can go either way. I've given some where clients have done it because they feel comfortable. And also there's ones when I've done the interviews for them because they wanted a little bit more of a step between them so that they could get ideally more honest answers, knowing that they don't need to serve me. I didn't actually do these pieces. And those one-to-one interviews can be really great if you are struggling where you know a lot of detail about your ideal audience, but you can't find trends. So doing one-to-one interviews can be a good way of seeing it wide. So I had a coach that specialized in helping other spiritual peoples, the business side of their coaching. So very specific. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, due to the nature of that business, she already knew a lot of very deep detail about these folk because it's on a spiritual kind of level. But it was hard for her to understand, like, what were the commonalities? And through the one-to-one interviews, it turned out that people either had never done anything like that before, did the research and came on, or people did group therapy sessions and it didn't work for them. And so because of these two, so despite these folk being from all over different walks of life, different stages, different traumas that they've had or different successes in their businesses, they kind of had these two overlapping themes that allowed her to then take her video marketing and stream down to one. Okay, the people I can talk about why you'd want to work with me at this level where the group coaching didn't work. Here's where I'm different. Or if you're brand new to this, these are the things to look out for. So it's very helpful. You may feel, I know everything there is to know about my ideal audience. I'd say, do you know what the trends are? Go talk to them. Damn it, darlings. Please go talk to your ideal, talk to your clients. Those, so that's this too. Yeah, on those ones.
Okay, so talking to your current clients is number one of three. We got two more that we need to cover, so we probably should move forward.
Right. So the second one, I would say that one-to-one could be people you don't know, but you've put the call out for them, mm-hmm. in that market research. I find if I use audience research, people don't get it. So I'll say, I'm doing market research on marketing, or I'm doing market research on dog treats or something, and I want to have a conversation with you. The last one is a product called Spark Toro. Have you heard? Yes. David. Oh, I love it. So we hear things like, yes, we want to go target the 25 to 45 year old women who are located in Halifax and they like this, this, and this. And then there's people going, well, how do I know that's who I want to go after? And as an aside, demographics aren't anything. I don't know if you've seen the classic one where I think it's like King Charles and also Ozzy Osbourne. They're both from the same place, born the same time. Couldn't be two more different men. So we got to be really careful about leaning into demographics, because demographics really pigeonhole people, especially in this concept of the catalyst moment when they're going to actually think about you. So Spark Toro is this wicked, awesome, really affordable, super ethical thing where you log in, and I think it's about, $56 a month. And as a side note, I love them to death, but they actually tell you when your month is coming up and you can turn it off. They don't actually, they're not into So what they do is you go in there and you type in, my audience talks about this hashtag, or my audience listens to this podcast, or my audience watches this YouTube channel. And what Spark Toro does is it reverse engineers and shows you other brands that those followers follow. Now, some of it could be obvious. So, in one case, most of them are probably going to be following entrepreneur.com. but it has a section called Hidden Gems, where Spark Toro's on the math and said, these entities are large enough that they have a lot of activity going on, but they're not so huge, not like Huffington Post, where for you to go and approach them would be like, you need a PR assistant and to do all that kind of piece. So what it allows you to do is look at websites they look at, podcasts, Reddit. Reddit's huge, darlings. I was really late to the boat on Reddit, and I'm sorely missed. Reddit's a goldmine for a lot of businesses. But it helps to tell you other accounts that they follow. And so what do you do with that? Well, you become a tigress in the grass, and you go follow them, and you sign up for their newsletters, and you go on their forums, and you reverse engineer what it is that that audience, your shared audience, what are they picking up? And what are they putting down? So in other words, you're not going to go out to social media world and just start like making whatever the hell you want. You would go and see these other brands and you would monitor them and you would actually see how do they talk to your shared audience? What did the audience really respond to and what fell flat? And from there, you can start seeing patterns like, well, they talked about this topic, but not through this lens. Maybe I will approach that brand and we could do a collaboration. We could do, I could sponsor the newsletter. We could do an opt-in swap. The idea is I'm playing into what's known as earned media now. That's where you get other brands to amplify what you're all about. I don't mean those gross ass emails of, hello, my name is Allison David and I loved your blog post and would you please include a link to me? Not that. I'm not talking about that level of collaboration.
I don't even read those anymore. I can tell from the subject line that I don't even want to read those.
Right. But imagine getting a subject line where they addressed it in the way you address your audience. And they talked specifically about Dan Patterson's piece about the reverse engineering. And I saw this. And have you ever thought about a perspective from an underrepresentative, you know, from a BIPOC or queer community wanting to give a perspective? And then people go, oh, that's worthy for our audience. So SparkToro is just a great way. I find, again, we're very busy, but we're also quite myopic. We know the brands that we follow, but we never quite understand the wealth of who people, what people look at. And the other common piece would be if you're a plumber, you're not going to go on SparkToro and type in, my audience talks about plumbing. They don't. I only talk about plumbing when there's a problem, but I talk about lifestyle maybe, or maybe the folk, the plumbing you work with is with heritage homes. So you want to find out where does your audience who can afford a heritage home and who works in that, those are the audiences you want to go and do. So those are my three there. So you've got the one-to-one for the people you have, listening tour for the people you've yet to meet. And then SparkToro is a fantastic way to find out where people are online. And don't forget your own audience too. We don't do enough to ask in our social media. I think of business owners, and let's say you are a copywriter. You don't go to your audience and go, tell me your favorite copywriting podcasts. Your audience probably isn't copywriters. So you could go on those podcasts, but you're not really reaching your audience. You're kind of reaching other copywriters. But what about asking a question like, if you were starting your business again tomorrow, what podcast would you recommend? Now you're getting your audience is telling you, I listen to More Perfect Marketing. And this is why. Like, oh, shoot, we got to go be a guest on there. Right. So that power here is just getting us out of our own butts to really find out what people, where they already are. You're not going to set up a whole market. You got your peaches in a basket. You're going to go to a marketplace that's already there, that already serves organic fruits and vegetables. So people know where to find you. It's the same thing with marketing, but so many businesses and marketers, we get caught up on the tactics. We're creating stuff, but we don't really know who is it for. And it's coming from our need to talk about it and not really resonating with folk as to why they should listen to this worst transformation, all of that.
Okay, this last little bit here, I want to ask some follow-up questions because It's making some assumptions that a business already has a relationship with an audience, right? That they're already communicating on one channel or another. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that many businesses don't do that. Is that your experience?
The folk that I'm working with, for me, so I'm
well, of course, they're your clients. Of course, they're going to be doing it properly.
I think it's sort of a think of social media. It's not we are doing this thing. People say social media is social. And I understand that a lot of business owners or their small teams are like, we don't know how to not promote our stuff. So the simplest method here is ask questions. Number one, you put a question mark at the end of a post. People will reply. If you say we have a 20% off sale, what do I reply to? Yay, can't wait to save, said nobody ever. There's no reason for me to engage, like, or share that. So I would say your business, if you're in a growth stage, or ideally there's somewhere where you're communicating them, or in your newsletter. Newsletter is a great one. You've had your newsletter around for a while. Send them a reader survey and give them a chance to answer some questions about where they hang out online so that you can go and do research and get better at this. So I would say most folks should have something in place. Marketing is dating. So if you're not ever talking to people and you're only ever trying to marry them, then there's a whole other, that's another podcast episode for another day. Yeah, in that case. So, but there's always a chance. But that's why I like SparkToro a lot. If you don't, if your product isn't out yet, or you don't, if you want to get into a new marketplace, or you're like, we're thinking about PR, we don't know what to do, start with SparkToro. That could be a great space no matter where you are with your business, just to go, I know that clients love this magazine. I will plug it into SparkToro and it's going to tell me 27 other things that those people also read, which could be helpful for you to kind of expand out from there. Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to go back to the examples that you gave, the three different places to get deeper into the audience and understand them. Let's apply this to a very practical situation, right? So somebody has gone through, I know you've mentioned that you work with attorneys, for example. Let's just make up an example of an attorney or the marketer at a firm who is going through this process. They learn things. Mm-hmm. Then what? How do you apply this?
Sure. So one thing would be, if you have decided as an entity that you really want to double down on SEO, on search engine optimization, you're not going to write a bunch of top of funnel things about what is the kind of law that you offer. Instead, you might have done audience research. Let's say you did the one-to-one research, and it turns out there's a section of your audience who are queer. And they say, part of the reason that I went with you in the end was because it was obvious to me that this is important to you, and I see myself in your associates. So one thing you can do there is, okay, while we could try to go after family law type articles, what if we wrote an article that was, unconscious bias issues in the queer community when trying to find an attorney, or how does the law affect me as a queer couple, for example? That could be one way to do it. So, and see, we're at the bottom, our BOFU, we're at the bottom of the funnel here, and you're giving you a chance too as a business to start talking about what makes you special. Like, these are the benefits, not the features of Unison. The feature is you work with queer folk, but the benefit is you would know the law in a way, and they're not going to have to hide themselves and also have to explain to you, well, that's great, but also our life insurance doesn't cover me because of X, Y, and Z. So it can go in that route as for one piece. I think of the SparkToro end could be, you're in a situation where you want to start getting featured in magazines and you've already tapped out in all your local business magazines. You could use SparkToro to find other online spaces where your top associates could go and get and pitch interviews, for example. And I'm thinking for the listening tour, perhaps you were wondering about doing labs or clinics a couple of times a month for a key thing. You could do a listening tour to validate that before you put into motion what staff is going to be, where available, what and what the price is going to be. How's that for three separate ways of?
Oh, I love it. And that last one, I wasn't necessarily thinking about. I was just thinking about content as you were talking about this.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. My default as a marketer, right, is like content, for sure.
Yeah, but I think there's, all kinds of practical applications. And I think another thing that I heard there was the importance of specificity in so much of this.
Yeah. And I think you were saying about those like probing questions. Well, again, when we say, tell me more. They start broad because we're having you don't know this person, you're having a conversation, you're trying to get into it. And then as your time goes on, you dive deeper and they say, and that was really difficult for me. You're like, tell me more. Because you might be thinking, yeah, it's difficult because the pricing's all over the map. They're like, no, actually it was difficult because I had to plan things 4 weeks in advance and I needed help now. And you're like, geez, we always have a 1 week turnaround. We don't even talk about that as a benefit to working with us. So yeah, that could be helpful.
That's great. And that brings up the common discussion we have around the Claude Hopkins Schlitz beer example that we like to talk about. Oh, I'm getting a questioned reaction
on
Allison's
face.
That
sounds like a fancy drink I order at a bar. What's this?
Schlitz beer was one of the cheapest beers out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I think back in, the early part of the 20th century. So probably not. But but no, it's about how do you take something that is so super obvious within your business and use it to distinguish yourself, because even though everybody else might already do it, nobody's talking about it.
Not the voice that they used, right? So when you're doing those one-to-ones and you use Otter AI to record it, you're going to be tempted to write in your brand language. But that person might seriously say, like, if you got five people who all said we were up our own asses about our, you know, our insurance, then like maybe if your brand wanted to go there, you might say up your own ass about your insurance. Yeah. Like that's just par for the course. Yeah. In that case.
And I know you said you came late to the Reddit party, but that's a great, tool for uncovering the language that people use when you don't have the opportunity to have the conversation, because people on that platform in particular are often showing up anonymously and therefore feel a little bit more comfortable talking, a little bit more openly about things.
Yes. And so especially in Reddit too, it has a bit of a negative, I'll be honest, there's a lot of people with a lot of time on the internet anonymously will do very negative talk. And there is a lot of garbage you have to sift through. But I like SparkToro because some subreddits aren't called things. Like I might type in, I'm interested in email marketing, but there might be Reddits called Allison's hair is flaming red. And you wouldn't even know that the subreddit Allison's hair is flaming red is like the de facto place where where all sustainable accreditation startups hang out to talk about email marketing. You have no idea. So again, SparkToro can be very helpful in us. Like we give it the keywords, but it kind of says, cool, this is what else that, because as we all know, we are multifaceted people. I am a many things. I'm not just a marketer. I'm also a nerd about gothic clothing. And I'm also a nerd about my pet birds that I have. So there's all kinds of things that I could be into. So this research just gives, I feel it truly does give us a gold mine. And you don't have to enact all of this, but it can be really great fodder when you, as a small business, when you go to work with a third party person, when I get stuff like that handed to me as a marketer, you shortcutted 2 months of work in some cases, because I know this is what's really happening with your audience and not what you hoped was going to happen. So we can get down to brass tacks now, right? Like, oh, let me go check out what that audience is doing and how we can help them out. It can save you. That's why we talk about saving time and money. Yep. It's measure twice and cut once. I'd rather you spend a whole month, 1 hour a week looking at three new accounts you've never seen before to find out that they are actually doing something different that you should pay attention to, than for you to just blindly create something for social media or blindly put together a blog post or a podcast series. When if you had just done this research, you would have saved you. Like, I don't have to talk about any of that, but this piece, oh, they're all missing it. And we're the ones that are going to deliver it.
There's a common refrain that I think many marketers hear from a prospective client, which is something along the lines of, well, I tried that marketing tactic and it doesn't work. Sure. And I think what you're recommending here, you got to do a little bit of planning and advanced work before implementation actually will ensure that you're much more likely to have a positive outcome rather than a negative one.
Yeah, especially if what you offer has really key cycles, right? So if it's like fall is your busy time, then yes, I know and it's tough. It can be really tough to do this work. I do recommend that that some of this work is great when you have like quiet seasons, like maybe that's the time to do some of this research. But you could pay attention to things and be like, oh, this brand is totally going to talk about, I don't know, fire extinguishers. I go, it's fire safety month in where you live. And it turns out this brand who you know is kicking ass didn't talk about fire extinguishers at all, but they were talking about the latest gadgets that came out of Amazon that can save you from lighting your, you know, there's like blankets and stuff you can put on your, right? So there's an opportunity that you don't have a whole team to go research new gadgets in Amazon, but you're simply following their tweet, their Twitter or their LinkedIn. And then you're seeing the comments. You're like, okay, that resonates with folk. And we could do something similar. Again, you're not ripping anybody off here. Do yourself, do your brand. But it would save you a ton of time. And it also just allows you maybe plan out in advance. And if you're trying to do outreach for SEO, for like backlinking or guest articles, this research also ensures you're knocking on doors that would actually open. There's nothing like when we get a nice list from SparkToro and I start doing the work to go find that backlinking, it's going to shrink because I'm going to come back to the client and say, I'm sorry, you really wanted to work with this brand. I see no indication that they do any collaboration. So why are we even going to pitch them if they won't even do it? How did I know? I took the time within the month to go do the thing, to go back through their work and say, did they ever have guest posts? Did they ever do collaborations? Did they ever promote other people's stuff? No, we're not going to knock on that door, darlings. It's locked. Save us some time.
So for folks who are, you know, you say folk and I say folks. I just realized that. I wonder if that's something that changes when you cross the border.
I'm not known for my great English, as an aside. This is, and I, no one in Halifax sounds the way I do. I'm just some weird pirate lady. This is just my mix. So take it. And I've said some words that people have told me afterwards, Allison, realize that word doesn't mean what you think it does. So that's just me, darling. Appreciate it.
All right.
Don't. Right. Yeah, great assault. Like,
all right. Well, inconceivable. That's a word that apparently at least one person doesn't know what it means. Anyway, sorry. That was a Princess Bride reference that apparently nobody got.
Oh, I go watch that now. Thank you. It's a great film.
You're welcome. For anyone who doesn't believe Allison when she says she has flaming red hair or wants to see evidence of it, tell them what website can they find you at?
You will find me, darlings, in a little corner of the internet called AllisonKConsulting.com. And that's one L because, darlings, we're in a recession. I can't afford to have two.
Oh, I love that. So it's Allison K Consulting. There's also an article that you shared with me, which we'll include on the show notes about how to find information.
Your ideal audience online. Yep, where exactly. The hell are they online? Well, Darrell, it covers this. Darrell, it'll give you the links to the things you need and some clear examples as well, just in case perfect. You were.
And there's a cool video on there as well. So we'll link to that.
Yes, email or video marketing. Part of it was audience research helped me to come to the conclusion that I needed to be online more in video. So just meta here. We're gotten meta on it. But there that helped go. Me to make the decision. Yes.
Well, brilliant. Hey, Allison Knott, thank you so very much for hanging out. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, too, for sticking it in with the probing questions. And everyone here, thank you for all the hard work you do. I know sometimes that marketing can just seem like this ever hill you're pushing your rock on. Keep at it, darlings. We're all here rooting for you.
Oh, brilliant. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, and I'm pretty sure you do, please share this with them. Until next time, my name is David Baer. We'll see you back here again soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.